Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbon. It's National Fun Day, Tony. What's your idea of fun?
I'm Tony Kornheiser. Watching Northwestern lose makes me laugh.
Yeah, well, you know what? Your screen must be blank because the most important team in some ways that we have, the women's lacrosse team, they're 9-0, having beaten your neighbor Maryland twice. So shout out.
Yeah, I haven't gotten to see the women's lacrosse team, but I watched the men's basketball team. I watched
them
lose.
That's over. That's gone.
I'm
that season's
you
over.
Know,
it's gone.
I love
root for us.
Northwestern.
I am grateful.
It's
I know you root for us in real time.
Love it.
I know you do.
I do. Welcome to PTI, boys and girls. We will get to the Sam Darnold trade in a few moments, but we begin today with Gonzaga beating UCLA on Saturday night when Jalen Suggs hit a 35-foot buzzer beater to prevent a second overtime. This was an 11 seed, taking the overall top seed to the limit. Wilbon, how will you describe this game, and are you certain that the better team won?
Tony, I know a lot of people rush to call this the greatest game they'd ever seen. I've been watching in person, fortunately, for 40 years college basketball games. And while there's a handful of games I think of, like Georgetown-Villanova in the final in 1985, I can't dispute anybody that says this is the most exciting or the greatest game because it's on my short list. I mean, three or four games, you know. I mean, it did Duke, UNLV, and Houston-Louisville. These are all Final Four games. But this is way up there, Tony. The best team did win. I mean, it's the best team because they got at least four pros in Suggs, Timmy, Kispert, and Ayayi. They're fabulous to watch. They're like music. They're so great to watch. They're the better team. But UCLA played a perfect game. They played a perfect game, and they got beat by some heavenly or hellish shot, depending on your point of view. The game was great. The performances were great. Suggs, to me, is a player that is worthy of being in the sentence with Magic Johnson and Isaiah Thomas and other people who, when they were cherubic, were just great. And I just see greatness for him, and I feel bad for UCLA that played the perfect game and somehow lost.
So I'm watching this game with no anticipation at all because earlier in the day, I had watched Houston and Baylor, and that was unwatchably awful.
It was
absolutely terrible.
You were
and
not
Houston
happy
was a
after
two
that
seed.
First game.
No.
You were not
no.
happy.
So Houston is a two seed, even though they hadn't beaten anybody. And now you have UCLA, an 11 seed, which means that the tournament committee doesn't even have them in the top 40 teams in the tournament, and they're playing the overall number one. And I'm thinking to myself, they're going to lose by 30. I know they beat Michigan. I can't get my head around how that happened. 51-49 to get to the Final Four. I just don't compute on that. I think it's going to be a terrible game. It turns out to be a spectacular game. UCLA does everything that they possibly could. And I was fortunate enough in my life to be at the Duke-Kentucky game where the underdog kept coming back and kept coming back and wouldn't go away. And it was like that in this regard, with this particular game. It missed two things, Mike, to make it
what?
The greatest game of all time, without question. It missed being a final, and it missed the fact Gonzaga was not behind when Suggs hits the shot. But I wish I were there. It was that good.
Yes. Real quickly, Tone, the Suggs sequence, where he blocks the shot of a 6'10 guy at 6'4, and he tracks the ball, throws a hook bounce pass with spin for a dunk from Timmy at the other end. Seriously, I think that's the greatest sequence I have ever seen in college basketball. You can find maybe a greater play on it, but this is one guy on both ends, Tony. I've never seen anything like that. I don't I can recall. So wow. And Gonzaga tries to cap its perfect season tonight. The Zags are going to play a Baylor team that rolled Houston by 19 in the other semi, as Tony said, and has won every tournament game by at least 9. Tone, do you now like Baylor's chances to beat Gonzaga tonight?
I like them less now than I did on Saturday morning. I think the Gonzaga-UCLA game was exactly the kind of game that Gonzaga needed. Close all the way, taut, and they won the game. Okay, if they played UCLA 10 times, they'd win 10 times. They are really a good team. I think that in a situation like this, that gives them confidence to believe with certainty that they can beat Baylor. Baylor's very good. I'm not saying they're not. But let's look at who they've played so far in the tournament. I'm going to my notes. Okay, they played Houston. Houston stinks. We saw that. They played Arkansas. Arkansas is always playing from behind. They played Villanova in a Sweet 16, and nobody thought Villanova would even get out of the first round. They played Wisconsin. Wisconsin left their game out there against North Carolina. That's all they had.
They were done. They were spent.
And they played Hartford from my conference, the America East. So let's not go nuts. I fear that maybe Gonzaga is fatigued, but they have a day off. I like Gonzaga.
Tony, I like Gonzaga, too. I'm going to go back to another game. I think you and I were sitting shoulder to shoulder at press row. Remember that famous Louisville-Houston game where it was like Hagler-Hearns, where it was just, I mean, guys up and down the court throwing it down on each other. There wasn't much in the way of three-point shooting back then. But, Tony, I could see that. I mean, when you have this many great athletes on the floor, and you know what? I mean, Baylor, after watching that game against Gonzaga, I kind of think this might bring out the best in Baylor as well, that they are going to say, you know what? We got nothing to lose. Let's go. They think they're the best team now. Let's go. And I think they're going to come with a puncher's mentality and maybe make Gonzaga counterpunch early in the game. But again, the guys I mentioned earlier, Suggs, Timmy, Kispert, and Ayayi, Tony, that's one of the great foursomes, it seems to me. They're pros. And they are skilled and smart and disciplined. And I can't say I'm going to pick Baylor, but I think it may be one of those nuclear games.
Well, you know, if Gonzaga wins, my only problem is you want a team that goes through undefeated. You want there to be no doubt that they are an immortal team. And I believe that what happened with COVID puts doubt on this season as a whole. Let's move on. Stanford won the women's tournament last night over Arizona when a last-second shot by Ari McDonald clanged off the rim. This was the second straight Final Four game where Stanford was fortunate to escape with the win. Wilbon, by beating UConn and losing so closely to Stanford, did Arizona win the most respect?
No, Tony, I think Stanford did that, even though they could have and perhaps should have lost each of those games and certainly the semi. I realize that. And here, where I am, you can see the mountains and the saguaro behind me, there's a little despair because people were starting to fall in love with this Arizona team and particularly Ari McDonald, who you mentioned, without whom. I know that was a bad possession. You and I talked immediately after that possession. And there are two people open because she's being triple teamed. And there's two people open. Tony, she had made the right play the whole tournament. Like the previous 70 plays, she did the right thing. They're not even in the Sweet 16 without her performances. So I really feel bad for her. And I'm not about to blame her for a bad play, which is what it was, because she had somebody open. We don't even know that the open teammates would have absolutely made the shot to carry on. I feel bad for her. But I know, Stanford, when you win, you win. And years from now, people are just going to remember that Stanford won.
So here's the walk-up to this. Arizona is the fourth team of the Final Four. They're the 1-3 seed. Everybody else is a 1 seed. They are thought so little of that they are left out of the hype video. This is the NCAA saying to Arizona, get out of here. You don't belong. Leave us alone. I don't think beating UConn was a tremendous upset that others think it was, because UConn should have lost to Baylor, okay? And this was not a great UConn team. It was a very young team. So then you get Stanford, and let's go back over what you're saying. Stanford probably should have lost to South Carolina, but they didn't. They could have lost to Arizona, but they didn't. They're a worthy team. They made, if the McDonald shot, because a LeBron James passes out of that situation to an open person. So that's a bad shot. But in the previous possession, Stanford doesn't even get a shot. They have a shot clock violation. So, you know, at the end, it wasn't great at the end, is what I'll say.
No. It wasn't quite the same as a 40-foot bank shot that everybody on that squad
But it was a very easy game to watch. It was a good game to watch.
It was a good game to watch. There's no question.
Yep.
Let's move to a late afternoon trade in the NFL. Your Jets, J-E-T-S, Tony, sent quarterback Sam Darnold to the Carolina Panthers for a sixth-round pick this year and a second and a fourth next season. So, Mr. Jets, how are you reading this?
Yeah, so if you get a sixth-round pick this year, and a second and a fourth next year for a guy that was the overall number 3 pick in the entire draft, then he wasn't a savior for you. You barely got more than your Bears got for Trubisky, who was the number two overall and just walked away. Right. Okay. This means that the Jets are going to go get a quarterback. Their head coach is Robert Saleh, who's a defensive guy. They don't have Adam Gase anymore, who's at least an offensive guy. So who do they get? Do they get Zach Wilson? Do they get Justin Fields? Do they get Mac Jones? They obviously are in the market to get somebody. And I'll say this about Darnold. Darnold had interception problems when he was at USC.
Yes.
And in 38 games in the NFL, he had 39 picks. You can't win that way. It's not a winnable equation. It's not.
He wasn't great at USC, and they took him anyway. I mean, it was just as stupid as the Bears trading up to get Trubisky, who was never great at Carolina, never showed greatness anywhere. And you wonder about the executives who make these decisions and what happens to them. They want to blame the player and say, well, we're going to move the player. We're going to draft somebody else. I feel bad for whoever gets drafted by the Jets. And I understand, you know, Salah's got to have, you know, his time. He's got to have opportunity. Maybe he'll be the guy that changes the culture, as everybody likes to say, of the New York Jets. I don't know what it means. I mean, maybe it's as likely to mean they're going to draft a guy who might be great playing for somebody else, and he'll stink again because he's playing for the Jets. So I'm not going to read, you know, I'm not going to go crazy, and, you know, we're not going to put out a mock draft 3.0 from PTI. We'll leave that to the draft experts. But, Tony, I guess it's going to be the kid from BYU. It's going to be Wilson. You presume that, too, don't you?
No, I don't know. I mean,
you're not presuming?
It leaves San Francisco in a very interesting position. We don't know exactly who they want. Are they going to get the guy they want? Will it fall to him? Or will they have to take somebody that maybe they don't really want? You know, that's what makes it interesting at this point. Let's take a break. But coming up, does Jordan Spieth's win make him the favorite for this week's Masters?
And what was the bigger deal for Shohei Ohtani? That 101-mile-per-hour fastball early or his massive home run?
Doesn't Carolina, don't they have Teddy Bridgewater?
Well,
are they
that
interested
not be
in
happy.
Donald?
You don't do this unless, I mean, you got to give that guy.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/PTI. That's Amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads. Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to Amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's Amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's mail time. We try to help you with all of your issues, okay?
Yeah,
let me see
that's
what's
right.
First
mail
here.
Time. You people who have issues.
Should Jordan Spieth be the favorite for the Masters?
No. It's great to watch Jordan Spieth, and I'm happy for him. I wasn't that into Jordan Spieth early in his career when people were declaring him, you know, proclaiming him the next Tiger, which was stupid. But he has had to fight through something that's somewhere between annoying and maddening. Playing well, not winning for, what, nearly 4 years. I was rooting for him the last few weeks. He's been great the last 4 or 5 weeks. And he finally broke through and won yesterday, Tone. But only Sandy Lyle and Phil have won the week before the Masters and then the Masters. It doesn't happen. Sandy Lyle, that's 1988. And then Phil. No, I don't know. I don't see it. It's great that he won, but I'm not going to go around and not say let's double down on Jordan Spieth or anybody else. It's too hard to do.
Yeah, I'm going to say he should be the favorite because over the last month and a half, he's been in the top five. And now he broke through, and nobody let him break through. He shot 66 on a Sunday to win a tournament, which is a major score. And I understand also that he's rinsed it in Rays Creek in Augusta. But he won in Augusta one year. I think it was 2015. He won in Augusta. And while he's played at Augusta, he's got a one, he's got two twos, and a three. So he's around the top all
the
time.
You picking him?
So
you picking him?
Well, I'm saying I believe that he should be the favorite. He also called it, Mike, a monumental victory. You don't use that word unless you think something important is changing the direction in your game.
Bill, let me mention real quickly what else was monumental. Lydia Ko shooting 62 in a major yesterday, but losing by two strokes to Patty Tavatanikin. I hope that got the pronunciation right. 21-year-old from UCLA who hits it 300 yards. Huh?
Let's guess what state that tournament was in, kids. What state? Maybe Arizona?
It was in California. Knucklehead.
Bigger deal, Shohei Ohtani's pitch or home run?
Tony, I'm going to say the pitch, not that the home run of 451 feet, said to be the longest this year, not that it wasn't impressive, but Tom, when you come back and you're still trying to get the comeback closer to your previous form, when you throw it 101 and then you throw a total of nine pitches, 100 or better, I'm going to say that 101-mile-per-hour pitch. That's the way I'm going. The home run, so what? It's BP in Major League Baseball these days. It's the pitch.
I am not going to knock any home run that travels that far and gets out of the ballpark that fast. But the comparison that you make with Shohei Ohtani is Babe Ruth. With Babe Ruth, you expect power. You expect home runs. What made Babe Ruth special was the pitching. So if you go 101 miles an hour... If you come out of Tommy John surgery and suddenly you're faster than you were before and you got a manager like Joe Maddon who says, we're going. We're going to let you hit and we're going to let you pitch. It's the touching 101 where you go, oh, I see how this could work. I see how he could be a double threat like this. So, yeah, it's 101 miles an hour.
I wonder if Babe Ruth ever got spiked like that trying to cover home plate when he was a pitcher. Because he had to lead the game because he got spiked and it's a legitimate slide in the home plate. I don't know if it was Abreu or not. I watched a lot of that stuff live. But, Tony, we don't know how long he can keep it up. It's good. I mean, people act like you just automatically keep doing these
good
two things.
Good for Joe Maddon for letting him try. There are no restrictions.
I'll give you that.
Enough of your issues, people. Let's take one last break, but still to come, should Bears fans be happy that Matt Nagy's going to call the plays again? We'll ask
Wilbon. Do we really need the Bears in an April show? My God. It is Porter Mosier, and we can have that Chicago guy in this show making the right move by leaving Loyola for Oklahoma. And by the way, the golf was in Palm Desert, so he's close to Arizona.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Happy time. People, happy 52nd birthday tomorrow, Paul Rudd, the engaging comedic actor who's best known for his work in such movies as Anchorman, The 40-Year-Old Virgin, and Clueless, grew up just outside Kansas City and is a staunch Royals and Chiefs fan. After the Royals won the 2014 American League pennant, Rudd went on camera from the field and said, quote, "Party at my mom's, man. She's out of town. I've got a keg. It's going to be sweet. $5 cover," unquote. Rudd is currently in a terrific State Farm commercial where he plays Patrick Mahomes' stand-in. Rudd's great line is, quote, "like looking in a mirror," and then the football slips embarrassingly out of his hand.
You're equating Rudd with being in that commercial? How about Drake? How about Drake from State Farm, huh? I mean, that when he bites off the apple and makes a sound, I thought that was pretty, pretty good. But Drake was an actor as a young kid, so maybe we discount that.
Happy anniversary, Duke. On this day 11 years ago, the Blue Devils won their fourth national title with a two-point victory over five-seed Butler when Gordon Hayward's desperation three from half court banked off the backboard and off the rim. What was remarkable about Hayward's shot was how online it was. Had that shot gone in, it would have become the most famous buzzer beater in college basketball history. That was the first of two straight appearances in the NCAA final game by mid-major Butler, then in the Horizon League. We bring this up in comparison to Jalen Suggs' shot that banked off the backboard to beat UCLA on Saturday night.
Tony, I'm really sad to hear that Gordon Hayward has suffered a foot injury that could keep him out a month, because he's been having a terrific year with Charlotte. People say, well, why would you want to go to Charlotte? He wanted to go to Charlotte twice in his basketball life. He's there. He's played well. They're in a playoff spot right now. Future looks bright. I just hope he's okay. He's had some tough injuries the last few years.
Yeah. Had that shot gone, it just would have been amazing. Happy trails, Porter Moser. Moser is leaving Loyola Chicago to become head coach at Oklahoma. Moser had spectacular success at Loyola, reaching the Final Four in 2018 and making the Sweet 16 this year after taking out number one seed Illinois. Moser began his coaching career as an assistant at his alma mater, Creighton, in 1990. He's been head coach at Arkansas, Little Rock, and Illinois State. The Oklahoma job became available when Lon Kruger retired. Kruger had been at Oklahoma for a decade, making the NCAA tournament seven times and the Final Four in 2016.
By the way, Tony, Drew Valentine, brother of Denzel Valentine, will reportedly take over at Loyola Chicago. In other coaching news, Carolina, which I said last week, had better hired Hubert Davis, and they did. Oklahoma coming back to Illinois, trying to find success again, hiring a coach from my home state. They did it with Lon Kruger. We'll see if it's going to work with Moser.
Carolina, by the way, always goes in-house. They always do.
They should.
It's the right call.
Should. Stay right there.
Yeah. Big finish. The Canucks now have 16 of 22 players on the COVID list, plus three coaches. Your thoughts?
Tony, how soon can they play? How soon can you expect them to play? What can be done about that? I don't know where the NHL goes from here with them and where the Canucks go either. Baseball in the immediate future. Baseball postponed today's Braves-Nats game due to COVID. You think they'll play that single game tomorrow or the doubleheader on Wednesday?
Yeah, they're going to be cleared to play. They're opening up at home tomorrow.
So?
They are going to play
all
those
right.
games.
Hope you're
Bears
right.
head coach, your boy Matt Nagy, says he will return to calling plays. I'm sure this is great with you.
Oh, sure, it's great with him too. Because as soon as Trubisky leaves town, the guy he didn't want to coach, he'll coach him up now. He'll coach up whoever he's got under center, please. Drew Holiday and the Bucs agreed on a four-year extension that could reach $160 mil. Does that make sense to you?
He's a really good player, but they could have given that to Malcolm Brogdon and kept him,
yes.
I would think. Last
great
one.
Call, Tom.
The Bulls beat the Nets. Are you surprised by that?
Not really. Kyrie had 15 assists, but no Harden, no Durant. No, not really surprised. Bulls getting better.
We're out of time. We will try and do better the next time. And I'm Tony Kornheiser.
I'm Mike Wilbon. Same time tomorrow, knuckleheads. You can get the PTI podcast on the ESPN app or Apple Podcasts.
Duska Jensen, shout out.
PTI.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today. The number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.